If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Okay, you action-loving sports maniacs. Look, we all like having something-something on the games. Hell, it's what keeps us from going to bed or watching Top Chef. But when you are putting your money out there on these rough gambling streets, the number one thing you need to know is simply this. A, when will I get my money without a hassle? And B, is this online sportsbook going to be a dirt patch and a cloud of dust next week? Well, with the official sweet action site of the Zabecast, MyBookie is that place. I've been doing business with them for over 5 years. They've got great odds, don't gouge on the VIG, have all kinds of props and futures, and best of all, in the rare case there's ever a customer service issue, guess who your customer service rep is? That's right. Me, El Baldo. So get in there, open an account, use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, so they know that I sent you. And bet with your head no over it, and you'll never look back. You'll never be tempted to try these other big clown books that are spending $1 trillion on fancy ad campaigns. MyBookie.com, MyBookie.com. You got a bookie? Yes, you do. And you don't have to meet him in a seedy Italian restaurant to settle up. Today on the Zabecast, the hammer comes down on Michigan, but as expected, it was made of rubber. Just when you think ESPN hits a new low of shamelessness, chances are they're just changing drill bits. All that plus old school Andy, and congrats, you've won 2/3 of a car. Plus, the man just won the lottery. All he wants to do is cut some grass.
Here we go!
Welcome aboard. It is Monday, August 18, 2025. It is week zero in college football, starting with a game in Dublin involving Iowa State and Kansas State, two ranked teams, and a smattering of games on Saturday, the 23rd. And then we're off to week one in college football. And oh, there is a lot of college football to talk about today. Hope you had a good weekend. It was hot as blazes in the DMV area this weekend. So, man, oh man, I played golf on Sunday at Maryland National, and I was so damn hot. At least I didn't overdose on creatine. That's right. Did you see Ben Griffin admitted that after his triple bogey, double bogey, bogey start to the BMW Championship final round, in which he four-putted from 5 feet, that he had overdosed inadvertently on creatine, which he takes as a supplement during his round of golf. He had put a big clump of it in his water bottle and didn't stir it up enough, and apparently he ingested one of the clumps of creatine, and it made him all goofy. I mean, it's an excuse. Who knows? He ended up making 7 birdies after that to fight his way back under par, and he's made the Ryder Cup. I don't know if he's made the actual Ryder Cup team, but he's pretty much assured of making it at this point. I did not overdose on creatine. I just drank as much water and as much, well, Diet Coke as I could possibly get down. We've got Andy Poland coming up here in just a minute, but I want to get on record as to the whole Michigan thing. Because when we last left you on Friday, I remember telling Scott and Solly, so what do you think is going to happen? This announcement's coming on Friday. We taped on Thursday. And I'm pretty sure, but I'd have to check, that my thought was they're not going to get much. that we're well beyond the day and age of giving any program that is a name program a postseason ban as punishment. It's just not going to happen. And sure enough, that's what we got on Friday. It doesn't mean there isn't a virtual asterisk hanging over the national championship for Michigan. The Michigan diehards like El Prez, Dave Portnoy, for Barstool, they're going to lean into this and say, you didn't get us on anything. The championship banner is still up there. Stop your whining. We were just better. Now, they won all their hardest games after the scandal broke. So they clearly were not winning the hardest games against Penn State and Alabama and then on to the national championship. They were not doing that with any kind of sign stealing, but it was quite the scheme. Some 53 different instances of Connor Stallions and his minions, who he called the KGB, were out there filming signs and feeding them into his own database to then decipher. Of course, when the investigation began, Stallions promptly broke his phone into 1,000 pieces, his words, and threw it at the bottom of a pond. Sherrone Moore deleted texts to Stallions, which he at first claims, well, I was out of storage. And then later on admitted, yeah, okay, I deleted them because I didn't want you guys to see them. He's been suspended for another game next year. Okay, two this year, one next year. He also had a show cause put on him, which is odd because he's still employed, he's still the head coach, but I guess that show cause would apply only if he tries to get another job elsewhere. Harbaugh got a 10-year show cause on top of what he's already been suspended for previously. He just didn't cooperate at all with the investigation. He said, yeah, I ain't saying nothing. And when reached in his new home in L.A. with the Chargers, a reporter said, any comment on your now 10-year show cause and the violations, the COI, the Committee on Infractions, what they said on Friday? He said, yeah, like I told you last year, I'm not engaging. Jim Harbaugh is a unrepentant rule breaker and cheater. He is a natural born liar and shameless at that. He's also a hell of a football coach. I mean, really, really good. And like I said on Twitter, let the internet sort that out. It all depends on where you land in the college football ecosystem. I don't have a dog in the fight. I got friends who are Ohio State people and some who went to the school in addition to just being native Ohioans, and I've got Michigan people of the same ilk. I'm just calling balls and strikes. Clearly, the scheme had value. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it. Why do it if it had no value? It's the same thing as Spygate with the Patriots. Not Deflategate, let's not get those confused. Spygate had value because even after it was discovered by the league that the Jets were doing it and now the Patriots were doing it, and they said, zit, that's it, no more. No more filming of other team signals in an organized fashion. The Patriots got caught doing it again the very next week. So it clearly had value. How much value, nobody will really know. But why didn't Michigan lose their championship? Why didn't they revoke it? Why didn't they vacate the wins? And why did they not give him a postseason ban? There's too much money in the sport now. And the television networks would have come down like, you know, bloody murder going, you can't kick out of the playoffs a team that we're going to feature on our television broadcast for much of the year. I don't think there'll ever be another program, a big program, I should say, that will get kicked out of the postseason. Oh, sure, Akron is currently on postseason ban from Division I football because their academic progress rate, the APR, yes, they're still keeping that thing, is apparently too low. We too low, something wrong. Bang, ding, ow. Shout out if you know, you know. I think I saw their APR was at 914. It needs to be 930 or better. So poor Akron. People are now saying free Akron. The NCAA's argument about not vacating wins or not doing a postseason ban is because, well, we don't want to punish the players, at least the postseason. You could vacate wins. That doesn't necessarily punish innocent players who are currently with the program. But in terms of, the postseason ban, they had no problem doing that to Penn State for the Sandusky situation 5 years. They had no problem doing it to Jim Tressel his first year at Ohio State Urban Meyer in the wake of the Jim Tressel tattoo scandal. That's a whole nother thing altogether. But as far as Harbaugh goes, look, is he worse than Urban Meyer? Answer, I don't think so. Like I said, cheater, liar, winner. You sort it out. That's Harbaugh for you. Cheater, liar, winner. Figure it out. Urban Meyer, winner, but look at the programs he ran. 31 different arrests at Florida, including recruiting, playing, and harboring what would become a double murderer in Aaron Hernandez. All the while, Urban Meyer happily pushing to the front the squeaky clean image of the God-fearing Tim Tebow as the face of the program while all kinds of criminality was going on underneath. And then, of course, as soon as it became apparent that he was losing his grip on the talent needed to win at the highest level, he came up with health issues. And so he quit coaching. My health and my family are too important. His daughter actually wrote up a contract saying, okay, Dad, since you're stepping away, you have to do this, this, and this. You have to come to my volleyball games. You have to come to my brother's football games. She had a whole list that she claimed his first year when he got back into coaching at Ohio State that he followed. But after that, I think he pretty much admitted, yeah, I'm kind of back to being the way I was. 24/7, 365. Same Urban Meyer that was a complete and utter failure in the pros and a sleazeball. And a coach who got suspended because he ignored signs of his assistant, Zach Smith, having domestic violence issues. And he was like, nah, I didn't see nothing. And then he had to admit, okay, yeah, there was an email about it, but I just chose to look the other way. Urban Meyer, who lasted, I want to say, 13 games with the Jaguars, same guy who kicked his kicker in the leg, Josh Lambeau, when he was stretching during warm-up, saying, hey, dipshit, make your kicks. Meyer denies the report, says he's got witnesses to back his side of it up, but why would a kicker make that up? And it sounds perfectly in line with who Urban Meyer was. And then, of course, don't forget the same Urban Meyer, after getting throttled on the road at Cincinnati, decides to stay back without the team, let the Jaguars fly home. He stayed back home to go to his own restaurant. And then he was filmed in the restaurant, hammered, groping a young woman who was not his wife. Urban Meyer is a scumbag. He's a winner, though. And a liar, maybe a cheater, maybe not, but Harbaugh is not as bad as Urban Meyer, my humble opinion. Also, Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly killed a kid. He killed a kid in the fanatic pursuit of winning by putting him up on a lift in a windstorm situation the day that Notre Dame practiced. I remember that day specifically, the alerts, the weather alerts, the wind alerts that they were talking about on the national news that were going to come across the Midwest. He not only practiced his team outdoors, but he had the kids operating the cameras up on the lift. And poor Declan Sullivan, one of his last messages of his life was, oh my God, this is terrifying. He was tweeting it. Oh my God, this is terrifying up here. This was, I guess, before they had remote control cameras. I don't think there's actually humans anymore up on lifts. Of course, what did Brian Kelly say? Oh, I had no idea. You know, these football practices are very complicated things. There's people all over the place. I would have never done that on purpose. Oh my gosh, he was up there. Oh, heart goes out. These college coaches, they are not the most wholesome of people. They are paid to win and win big. Before we get to Andy Pollin, Who wants to join me in Cancun this winter? That's right. The road to Sunburn Bowl 7 begins right now. Book your trip with me and the 97 Through the Game morning show. You do not have to live in Wisconsin or listen to me on the station if you just want to come join the gang. And if you come from somewhere else, you're going to go, wow, these Wisconsin people, they're so fun and nice, but man, they'd like to have a pop or two. You will stay at the Hyatt Vivid Grand Island in Cancun as a Vantage Club guest at the all-inclusive, adults-only resort, F Them Kids, and watch the show live in the morning from the rooftop lounge, get in the daily contests and challenges poolside, and maybe become legend by winning Sunburn Bowl MVP. Go to thegamemke.com for more information. Book your trip now. It is February 21st, right when you're going to need it the most in the dead of winter. Presented by Discovery World Travel and Funjet Vacations. And I just found out last week, special guest this year, Wayne Larrabee, voice of the Packers. So we're going to have a pro play-by-play voice narrating all of our silly poolside games. That should be a blast. Coming up, old school Andy on a new low for ESPN. You're listening to the Zabecast.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Winning season has officially returned, and with NFL preseason live, there are plenty of opportunities to win at MyBookie. Whether you're a seasoned bettor or a first-timer, MyBookie gets you the most for your money with a double deposit bonus up to $1,000. To claim your bonus, sign up and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit, and you'll instantly double your money with MyBookie. It's simple. $250 puts $500 in your account, and you can use your funds to bet on as many individual games, contests, or props as you want. Bet on team win totals. Predict the Super Bowl winner. Use the MyBookie prop builder to give yourself the edge you need to secure the bag. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
Hello.
Hello, Andy Pollin. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good, Jim.
I'm doing good. Hot here in the Mid-Atlantic in August. No shocker there, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I told you, you know, if you'd like to leave, they won't stop you at the border.
I know they won't stop me at the border. I don't know if, well, I'm pretty sure you watched almost none of the BMW Championship, the second of three legs of the PGA Tour's playoff structure. Playoffs?
I saw the highlights, and I saw the Scottie Scheffler chip on 17, which was amazing.
Okay. Somebody had a great tweet which said, Scheffler is not Tiger, but he's also not Tiger either, or something to that effect. Like, he is dominating in a way that is one click shy of Tiger, just without the theatrics. I'm wondering, you as a former Tiger aficionado, you're warming up to the dominance of Scottie Scheffler.
Well, I wouldn't call myself a Tiger aficionado.
Well, Tiger enthusiast. You loved watching him when he was at his peak.
Because he was like Jordan. He was a killer. If he had the lead, he wasn't going to give it up.
Well, that's kind of like Scheffler. But the difference is that Tiger was flamboyant and generational and captivating to watch. Scheffler's kind of boring.
Well, Tiger captured pop culture. I mean,
yes.
He would do shows like Oprah, and when that was a big deal, and people were talking about him constantly, you know, and he, you know, part of it was the relationship with the father, you know, the father who had the time to teach him every day. I mean, there's just so many different storylines. Scheffler is, you know, seems like a nice guy, got a nice family, you know.
Yeah, he's amazing. He has finished inside the top 25 in all 18 of his starts on tour this year. There's only two other guys to have done that. One of them was Tiger, multiple times. Also, Scheffler, now in 148 career starts on tour, has had 74 top 10s. So he's been top 10, which is really hard, in fields of 156 or 120 or whatever. He's finished top 10 in half of them.
Yeah, I mean, is it possible that he's Jack more than Tiger?
I don't know. You know, Jack played in such a different era. Yeah. It's kind of hard to compare, but man, he is so damn good. And the chip in was amazing. So you saw that highlight. Pretty damn cool. Yeah.
Amazing.
Okay, I just laid out my full thoughts about Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan penalties. I'm going to give you some fresh powder to ski in here. What'd you think of what the NCAA did? Heavy fines, some recruiting restrictions, a show cause for Harbaugh, who's never coming back anyway, and then one more game for Sharon Moore. What'd you think?
Big deal. It's just money. That's all they're doing. Giving up. I mean, yeah. And I still go back to what happened to Maryland basketball for giving Rudy Archer a ride to class and then lying to the NCAA. Lying is what brought about the penalties.
Right.
No postseason for 2 years. No TV. I mean, it was insane. And now it just shows you, if you cheat, you will get hit with fines, but they didn't make them vacate the national championship. Not that that would have made a huge difference. But if you could afford to do the crime, you don't have to do the time.
Yeah. The fines could reach in the $30 million or plus range. They're more like taxes on future playoff earnings instead of fines, but it's still money. But then I saw a stat, Andy, that the endowment from the University of Michigan, which is their big pile of money they've got socked away, is something like $1.8 billion. Did you hear this?
No, but it doesn't surprise me.
That's a huge billion for a university.
It's a massive university. They got a lot of very successful alumni. They donate 10,000 here, 15,000 there. It adds up.
So I guess 30 million when you've got 1,800 million.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hold on a second. I'm just getting this in from Gronk 3, my online AI search assistant. By the way, how you doing with AI, Andy? You're old school. Are you warming to artificial intelligence?
The only AI is what I put on my steak, really. I don't,
that's A1, you dummy.
I know, and someone else should have known that too, but okay.
What about your lawyer daughter or your very smart school teacher son? They're not telling you, hey. I bet your son, by the way, teaching has to really battle the AI revolution because that's what kids are using now.
Yeah, he teaches math, so that's a possibility. Yeah, I really haven't talked to either one of them about that. Do you use it? Is that your search engine, AI? Okay.
Well, okay, if you just use Google, right, I assume you still Google things?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so if you just search Google, it will use an AI agent to give you a better description before they make you start doing your own research and looking at all the links they throw at you. Okay.
Yes, I've seen that. I have seen that.
Okay, so you're using it even though...
I don't know I'm using it.
Right. it gives you the AI overview.
Yep.
I made a mistake, Andy. I said $1.8 billion, which is a hell of a lot of money, $1,800 million stashed away. I was wrong. It's $18 billion.
Right. At $30 million, it's probably like 2 football games. And they got the biggest stadium in the world.
Yeah.
You know, revenue just for tickets. So it's, you know, not that big a deal.
Okay. But where do you stand on Harbaugh? I said, look, he is a unrepentant cheater. He is a natural born liar. And he is a hell of a football coach. And there are worse guys out there.
I couldn't describe it any better. And I also look at what was happening to him before he started cheating. And cheating turned out to be a very good thing for him. Right.
It did the turnaround because he actually got a pay cut, remember?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Before he turned it around. They're like, look, we'll keep you here. You're a legacy son, but we're not paying you as much because you're not delivering. And then things started to turn around. It coincided with Stallions. I don't know if I can say it was the reason, though, that things turned around. But obviously the whole cheating scheme had some value. That's why they did it, right? Nobody does it just for fun, basically.
And he started beating Ohio State. That's why they put the penalties in, or the pay cut.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't beating. All of a sudden, he's beating Ohio State.
Yeah. The whole thing with Tressel going back to 2011, all that Tressel did, His players were taking their game-worn jerseys and helmets and trading them into a tattoo shop for free tattoos. All Tressel did was when he was notified, like, hey, some of your players are doing this, he just didn't say anything. That's it. He just didn't report it. And for that, they hammered him. And when he went to work for the Colts, Andy, the NFL even suspended him there. Do you remember?
I do. That was bizarre. That was, yes. that was Goodell sucking up to college football, which is, and it was then and still is, the minor leagues of the NFL. The other interesting one on this is Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel was doing what exactly was in the spirit of NIL. He was charging for his autograph. Mm-hmm. And if they just would have said, okay, you can do that from now on, we wouldn't be in the situation we're in right now.
Well, we would have been there sooner. It was just a matter of time. We got a pro college league that is spiraling out of control as we approach weekend zero. Because did you see the proposal the Big Ten had leaked about the playoff?
Teams. Yeah, 24 teams. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, ridiculous. Well, they would like to do it.
Of course, it's more money. And a chance that the entire Big Ten gets in.
So at what point, though, would it actually break the sport? Because I don't think you're going to see any less appetite this fall for college football. Ratings, revenue, attendance, you name it. At what point do you break it?
Well, I think that what we saw with the playoff this year was by the time they got to the championship game, it was right in the middle of the NFL playoffs and seemed like the enthusiasm for it wasn't there. Are you going to play that many playoff games to get down to something that's that late in the season and competing with the NFL? Doesn't make sense to me.
No, I think last year proved, even though they're tweaking the seeding, you know, that last year the seeding was if you won your conference as one of the Power Five, you get a higher seed than maybe a higher ranked or better wild card. And they realized, okay, that's probably a mistake. Even though they tweaked the seeding, I think we're at the edge of the amount of product that we want as fans. Like, just because a sport's popular and people are into it and it gets good enough ratings, there's always a limit to how big the buffet needs to be before you start throwing away a lot of food, right?
Right. Well, I think we've seen that to an extent in baseball and maybe in basketball, that there's just so many rounds of playoffs that it doesn't seem to have the same kind of sizzle that it used to have.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, at some point it's too much, right?
Yeah. I think so.
Everything in life at some point becomes too much, even the best of things, right?
Well, and this goes back, you know, 70 years. Boxing was on all the time. And
people was it really?
Oh, yeah. Boxing is always cited as the sport that got overexposed, and it was the early days of television, too.
But interesting.
It lost interest because there were just so many fights. Now, I remember the days when they would have heavyweight championship fights on network TV. That was kind of cool. Right. But now boxing died because of what baseball is doing now, selling all these Peacock games and Hulu and all this other stuff. And I don't know if it'll reach the point where boxing did, but right now you can't name any fighters, can you? There's no fighters out there that you know.
No.
Right? It's dead.
But there's also just better sports out there, let's be honest, right?
Right.
But I think at some point they will break the college football model to a certain degree, and they'll have to scale back. Like, we're already at the edge of it. It's 12 teams now. It'll be 16 next year, right? Is that the progression? It was 12 this year, correct?
12. It'll be 12 this year again.
Right. But then after that, they're going to go to 16. Like, that's about it. Because you and I and everyone with a brain knows at the end of the year, okay, here's the three teams that could actually win it. And there's not going to be a Cinderella college football team that punches their way through to the title game, my opinion.
Well, also, they've got so many games now, they're going up against NFL playoff games.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to watch that. I'm going to watch the NFL.
They also need to get the college game under 4 hours. Jesus. Right. Well, they're so long.
They have worked on that. They've got, it used to, the clock used to stop.
Every out of bounds. Right. And on first downs as well. And the half times take a lot longer. They're like 20 minute half times to get the marching band on and the marching band off.
As a former band member, don't you somewhat sympathize with that?
Andy, for the record, I was never in a marching band.
Oh.
I never marched. In high school, I would have had to be in the marching band, but our music teacher, Mr. Fraker, asshole supreme, Richard Fraker, he didn't want to spend time practicing the marching formations because it would interfere with the musicianship and the music that he was fanatical about. So the principal at our school was like, we need a marching band. He's like, the best I can do is a pep band that would sit in the stands. And so that's what he did. He did something called a funny hat band where you wore funny hats. Now, my brother was in that band. And one game, he decided his funny hat was going to be an old plastic football helmet with an Estes model rocket launcher on top of it.
Cool.
Do you ever have Estes model rockets?
What? That's the you used to pump them. I remember them.
No. These were little model rockets with like balsa wood fins. You would do some basic construction of it, and then it had a solid burnable type fuse. With a rocket, it was like a cylinder. It was like a shotgun shell of propellant that when lit would shoot the little lightweight rocket into the air, and then it would pop off the parachute so you could then watch it come fall back to Earth. And this, you know, these model rockets, these Estes model rockets, big in the 1970s and 80s, they would go thousands of feet in the air, whereby if you didn't do it in a large field, that rocket, by the time it drifted down, was two neighborhoods over. So my brother decided. So my brother said, "I'm going to do a model rocket on my helmet, and then after a touchdown, I'm going to light it off." So Langley High School scores a touchdown, one of their few of the year, because they were not a juggernaut when we went to high school, and the rocket goes off his helmet, Andy, and lands at the 50-yard line. Everyone in the stands are like, "Oh my God, what was that?" And they're like, "Who did that? Who did that?" And we're all laughing because there's a trail of smoke going from the 50 in a huge arc right back to my brother's head.
Did you get in trouble?
I believe he got in some modicum of trouble, but it was a pretty good hat. So I never marched in a marching band. But anyway, back to the college football thing. So the big impasse is between the SEC and the Big Ten because the Big Ten wants guaranteed bids because they know in a 5 automatic qualifier, 11 at-large format, the SEC, which just means more, Andy, is going to get too many bids for the Big Ten's liking. Meanwhile, the Big 12 and the ACC are like, "Hey, why do we only get 2? Like, if you're proposing 4 guaranteed Big Ten, 4 guaranteed SEC, what are you saying? We're half the conference you guys are?" And basically the Big Ten and the SEC are like, "Yes, that's exactly what we're saying."
Yeah, right. I've been binging this series on Netflix about the SEC.
How SEC is it, football. By the way?
It's excellent. And it just shows you how much bigger it is than anything else. Now, I have been to Wisconsin football weekend. I know what that's like. And I'm sure Ohio, Michigan reached that level. But the entire SEC is incredible. Yeah. So I understand their feelings of ACC. Are you kidding me? Pac-12 or whatever is left of it? No. Yeah.
All right, let's talk ESPN for a second. This was what some people say is a new all-time low for the four-letter Connecticut-based sports network in the woods. Monica McNutt on First Take on Friday was discussing football with Stephen A. Smith, not his strong suit football, and a influencer with a ginormous head by the name of Drewski, Drusky. Are you familiar with Drewski's stylings?
I've never seen him, never heard of him until you just mentioned his name.
Okay. Are you aware of this incident?
No.
Well, sit down for this, Andy. Drewski is wearing a Honolulu blue number 20 football jersey that says Sanders on the front. He might have been wearing it backwards because typically nameplates for football players are on the back, right? But it says Sanders on the front. It's Honolulu Blue. It's number 20. Monica McNutt, who I don't know why they hired her for what reason, says, oh, and I see you're rocking the Shedeur Sanders jersey. And Drewski immediately goes, no, 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 this is Barry Sanders. And she quickly goes, oh, yeah, okay, never mind. People were going, are you kidding me? How do you work at ESPN? You don't know that immediately is a Barry Sanders jersey, not Shedeur.
She's surprised. She's a basketball person. I know. She's good at that, I think, but that.
I can't believe you haven't seen this incident. I am shocked.
I saw a picture of it, but I didn't. I guess I saw it on Twitter, and I didn't bother to click to get the information that you just gave me. So, yeah, that was really dumb.
Everyone is roasting this woman, and rightfully so. People roasting ESPN saying, why would you even hire somebody that has that loose of a knowledge of sports in general? Others are saying, look, if you're going to have her, just keep her to talking women's basketball and don't have her on First Take, one of their big debate yak shows. I was saying the whole time, I'm like, I'm more offended by putting Drewski on there. Who the fuck is Drewski? Why do I give a shit about his opinions about anything?
Well,
but that's what ESPN has become.
Right. And I have no interest in Stephen A's opinions on anything, particularly football, which he knows little about.
I know. But here's the thing. You know, Clay Travis was making a big deal about 8 years ago saying ESPN's a walking dead man. He was tracking the trend of subscribers, cable subscribers. And he wasn't wrong in a certain extent, although his predictions that they were dead man walking was a bit overblown because ESPN, even though they've shed a ton of subscribers via cable and satellite, they're trying to make the big pivot to streaming. And they're as powerful as ever because they just bought the NFL Network. Yeah, and they only had to give up 10% of the equity in the whole venture. So ESPN's not going anywhere. And once upon a time, as you and I can remember, there were direct competitors to ESPN, like Fox, that was trying to become ESPN, and they lost.
SI even put out a network of...
Yes.
Like, I mean, yeah, it just doesn't work. And ESPN is... I mean, I didn't grow up with it, but there are generations and generations who think that that's sports. ESPN is sports. So, yeah, I mean, you're not going to chase it away. And being owned partially by the NFL at one time, that might be seen as a little bit of a conflict of interest. Nah, not anymore. Yeah. No, the more you engage with the NFL, the richer you get.
Yeah. Now, there is a side story that some people are saying, wonder if that new deal with the NFL and NFL Network had anything to do with this. You saw where they are apparently killing the Colin Kaepernick series that Spike Lee was working on, that it will not be aired.
I saw that, yeah.
Do you think that's maybe the NFL saying, look, since we're partners now, we don't need this shit. Kill it.
It's entirely possible. I do like the work of Seth Wickersham and Don Van Natta. So we'll see what their future is.
Right.
But, you know, yeah, I mean, but the whole line of what's journalism, what's not, that disappeared a long time ago.
Yeah. The whole, the best tweet on that was, oh no, how will we know his story now about Kaepernick? I would have watched it. Would you have watched it?
Yeah, I watch all documentaries. I like them.
Yeah, I would have watched it, if nothing else, for the wild spin, I'm sure, they would have put on Kaepernick. Kaepernick had lost his job, Andy, essentially. And his first time that he sat down for the anthem, he didn't kneel. He just sat on the bench because he was being pouty. And then he was like, ooh, I could make this my protest thing. And that's where it all started from. But of course, the documentary would not go through that part of it. They would probably spin it a totally different way.
Well, I think he did it a few times before Steve Weiss of the NFL Network noticed it.
And that's right. That's right. Yeah, it wasn't even a protest. It was just like, man, I'm pissed. I'm not playing, so fuck
it. Right. It wasn't like, hey, look at me. I'm going to protest the anthem. Yeah. He'd been doing it for a few games, and then Weiss noticed it, and then it became a thing.
Yeah. All right. Hole-in-ones on the PGA Tour at some events go with a free car. because they've got an auto sponsor, right? So the BMW Championship had a free car for a hole-in-one on 17, a downhill par 3. Akshay Bhatia jarred it to win the car. Tell me if you'd be down with this. I think if that's the case, the player who wins the car must get in the car, drive it off the display, and drive it to the green, and then get out and pull the ball out of the hole. Would you be okay with that?
Well, I'm interested to hear that you're asking me, because I think you, as a purist, might say, we can't schlock up our sport like this. And for somebody like me, yeah, go ahead. Do figure eights on the green. That's good. Fine. Right.
But how about this, though? There was a hole-in-one on the LPGA Tour this week. And guess what they tweeted? The LPGA Tour. They were like, you know, I think there was some Korean player's name. I don't remember right now. And they said, look at the hole-in-one. She wins $50,000 towards the purchase of a new Toyota. And people roasted the shit out of both the LPGA and Toyota, going, that is the cheapest thing I've ever seen. Like, what? Congrats. You've won 2/3 of a car?
Well, $50,000 gets you a nice Toyota, but it just...
Does it?
Yeah, it does. You can get You could get an SUV.
A 4Runner?
Yeah.
A fully loaded Camry?
Well,
suspension?
So what's the top?
A Toyota Sienna? Oh, I can't get a Toyota Tundra truck. But the fact that they're like, here, apply this to a new Toyota. Yeah,
that looks bad. They should have kept that quiet. They should have just said, here's $50,000. Oh, if you'd like to buy a car, there's a dealer over here that you can talk to.
Also, there was a jackpot in the state of Virginia, the largest state jackpot ever recorded, $348 million. Not too bad, although there have been larger ones that have been the Powerballs, multi-states, all this other stuff, but the largest Virginia lottery ever. And the man who won it, apparently, according to news reports, when asked what he was going to spend his money on, he said, a brand new zero-turn lawnmower. Now, that's a man after my own heart. Congrats. That's $14,000. And let's see, you still have $347,996,000 in change.
Is he going to use it himself? He's not going to hire somebody to use the lawnmower?
No. I think he wants the zen of being on that horse, as I call it. When I tell my wife, I'm like, all right, I'm going to get on the horse. She knows exactly what I mean, which is I'm going to get on the mower. I'm going to be on it for 2.5-3 hours at least. Be listening to podcasts, and I'll be in my happy place, as long as it's not too damn hot.
Okay. I cut my lawn for years, but I'm in a townhouse now. I don't have a lawn, and I don't miss cutting it.
All right. How about string trimming? Do you miss that?
String training?
String trimming, yes. Weed whacking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I used to do some of that. I don't have one of those anymore. I have a set of hedge clippers. Actually, the shrub next to my house technically belongs to the neighbor, but I trim it.
Do you trim it back to claim your land? You're like, look, buddy.
No. It's a woman who's lived there for a long time. And we've discussed it. And she said, yeah, go ahead. It's fine.
Okay. I did some string trimming this weekend because I had some areas that were severely overgrown. Mm-hmm. And it was nasty work. It is a man's game, that string trimming, if you're going to do any kind of serious string trimming. And I sent the video. I did a time lapse. I sent the video to some buddies. They're like, you don't have somebody to do that for you? And I'm like, nah, I'm kind of cheap in that way. And I'm still energetic enough to want to do it myself.
Do you like, when you say it's man's work, do you imagine yourself as like Stallone as Rambo doing this or Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Let me put it this way, Andy. The next time I see a woman using a string trimmer will be the first. I've seen women driving lawnmowers and even pushing lawnmowers, and I applaud them for that. But you string trimming, like if you're going into 4 foot high weeds like I was, you don't know what's in there. Snakes, spiders, it's nasty. I mean, it's man's work, just saying.
You're suggesting there's a woman not brave enough to use a string trimmer.
No, I'm not.
You kind of just said there.
No, I said it's man's work. It's something that men do 99% of the time. In fact, I'll put a bounty out for my listeners. If you see a landscaping crew and you see a woman using a string trimmer or weed whacker or weed whipper, as my boy Charge, who's Minnesotan, likes to call them, the weed whippers, then just, you know, send me a picture. Take a picture. I'd like to see it. It's tough. It's
sometimes
nasty.
Sometimes they're criminals, like these road crews that, you know, they take them out and they have them do that.
Yeah. I think a lot of criminals are like, oh God, I don't want to do the string trimming. Can I do something else? Can I bust rocks with a hammer instead?
Right. No, right. It's not children's choice. Sorry.
Yeah. All right. On the NFL front, this is going to be the week where teams get their shit straight, right? In terms of holdouts, mm-hmm. starting quarterbacks, etc. First bit of news is that Kevin Stefanski for the Browns says he will name his starting quarterback for week one prior to this Sunday's final preseason game. What are the chances it's Shadur or Barry Sanders?
Barry Sanders. No, it's
what are the chances it's going to be Shadur Sanders?
It's going to be Flacco.
Okay. Yeah. Did you see the Dylan Gabriel comments about entertainers and competitors, and people immediately thought he was throwing shade at Shadur?
I didn't, but I saw he had a lousy game when he played the other night.
The game he played this weekend, he was okay. He threw a pick six, mm-hmm. I believe, but at a higher completion rate than Shadur. Didn't have any touchdowns, though. Passer rating was not so good. He looks like he's probably not going to be very good, and we'll see about Shadur, but he made this comment after the game with Aditi Kinkabawala, in which he said, well, you know, there's entertainers and then there's competitors, and my job is to be a competitor. And people were like, ooh, he's throwing shade at Shadur. In the post game, at the podium, he clarified it because it had already spread wildly from the field to the podium. He said, I meant the media, they're the entertainers. We as athletes, we're the competitors.
That's kind of weak.
I mean, maybe it's true, maybe it's not. I don't know. I do know this. Are you aware of just how bad this guy the Saints reached for, Tyler Shuck from Louisville, is? Have you seen some of his preseason shit?
I have not, but I saw as a guy went to like five different schools. And, you know, I wonder about that when they took him. I've not seen any of his performances. How bad is it?
It's horrible. Like, people are saying, you got to see this guy before he's benched and out of the league in 5 seconds flat. He's one of the shittiest quarterbacks you've ever seen. Awareness, accuracy, arm strength, and he's 25.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this. It goes back a long way, but I remember seeing Mark Rippon when he first came up in preseason, and he was god-awful. In those days, you could hide people. There was some rare blood disease that he had, which he was suddenly cured of after a year on IR. And then there was some old knee injury or whatever it was. By the time he got to play and learned for 2 years, he was ready to play. Yeah. So maybe that'll be the case.
All right. And then we're on to holdout fronts. The Bengals apparently have reached a complete impasse with their outside edge pass rusher, Hendrickson. You still have, they're apparently willing to entertain offers. Who knows what the going price would be for him. And then Micah Parsons still does not have a deal in Dallas, and there's a lot of trade rumors and rumblings about that.
Right.
And then there's McLaurin.
Yeah.
Give me your take on the Commanders' Terry McLaurin, as this is going to be the get your shit right week before we start the NFL season.
Well, he's off the physically unable to perform list, which is where they stuck him for a while they were negotiating some ankle injury that they said he had. Never heard anything about it before.
Okay.
But look, if he's back and he's going to play this year on the last year of his contract, that's a win for the Commanders. Because if he's great, they franchise him, and that's two more years. He'll be 32. By that time, they'll have drafted his replacement.
Yeah. But do you think he's going to cave is the question?
Well, he's dug in pretty deep. I heard Charles Robinson, who is a longtime NFL reporter on the Andrew Brandt podcast.
Does good work. Said,
yes, and he said something I had not heard, that Adam Peters, as a negotiator, is a no-budge guy. And as far as I know, this is the first big contract he's ever negotiated because he was the assistant GM with the 49ers. So it could be a combination of an agent who maybe reached too far and a GM who's inexperienced in this, as good a job as he did bringing in free agents last year, And the draft, maybe, you know, he's learning at this too.
All right. Are you worried?
No. Okay. Because, I mean, look, they may get back to where they got to last year, but I don't have a lot of faith that they will. There was a lot of things that went right. I mean, at least they're a good team now. The ownership isn't an embarrassment. And maybe in the next few years, they can build a Super Bowl team. But I don't think it all rides on Terry McLaurin.
No.
No.
Okay. All right. I would have paid the guy though. Like I think he is such a quality pros pro that I would have had no problem paying the guy a little bit over market value. Of course, he probably wants a lot more over market value, and that's part of the big problem.
Apparently the agent came in and it was like, yeah, we need Justin Jefferson money. And they go, oh, we were going to offer you a lot less than that. So, I mean, it wasn't like they were close and they're working it out. Like, he and his agent are apparently delusional. As great a guy as he is, when it comes to this particular contract, they're overreaching, I think. And then you got the other combination with Peters playing hardball in his first big contract negotiation.
I think, in fairness, he wanted DK Metcalf money.
Okay, but you heard, I mean, who knows what's true, what's not true, but it was like, oh, he wants a lot more than that. He wants more than DK Metcalf money.
Right. Yeah, but Metcalf apparently was the comp, so yeah. Okay. All right, so what else is shaking for you this week?
Let's see. Oh, I'm seeing a back specialist and getting dry needles.
Oh,
I'm
no.
Yeah, well, age has caught up with me in some regards. I have a little bit of a stenosis, so I'm getting that, but it's working out pretty well.
Okay. Well, I hope that goes well. I had some dry needling done when I pulled my groin muscle.
Yeah.
It sucks. It's like,
how did you do that?
Do you remember?
No.
It was at what I had begged our station to do for years.
Oh, yes.
Combine, the adult punt, pass, and kick. The combine inside the Redskins bubble. I got out onto that field and I was like a dog that had gotten out of the yard, and I'm running full speed and I'm cutting, I'm doing routes, I'm catching. And then I was like, ow, I felt this electric shock inside my leg and it was bad. I couldn't get out of bed the next day. Groin muscle. So I ended up getting dry needling for it, and I don't know if it helped or not. But it was just gross to know that they were sticking a needle in you and it had nothing in it over and over again. So,
but it's working. So I'm good. Continue. Yeah.
All right. Well, very good. I tried to get you to lunch this week, but you're busy on Tuesday. Will you take next week as a rain check?
Yes, I will. And the reason is I'm going to be dry needling, but I won't have an appointment that following week.
Okay. So very good. Yeah. I'll give you some nicely dry aged steak at the Palm.
I enjoy the Palm. I dine there at least once a decade, so that'd be great.
All right. Andy, you're the best. Thank you, buddy.
All right, Dave, take care.
All right, see you. And I know it's gonna be. All right, that's it for us today. Thank you so much for listening. As always, rate and review. It tickles the algorithmic overlords. Played golf today with a guy who is a naval commander, and he deals in algorithms. He's a math genius. We were talking about the algorithmic overlords. Said to send him the podcast, he could help goose the algorithm. So I'll have to do that. Thanks for listening. Have a great Monday, and we will see you next time. And when someone else instead of me.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Winning season has officially returned, and with NFL Preseason Live, there are plenty of opportunities to win at MyBookie. Whether you're a seasoned bettor or a first-timer, MyBookie gets you the most for your money with a double deposit bonus up to $1,000. To claim your bonus, sign up and use promo code ZABE on your first deposit, and you'll instantly double your money with MyBookie. It's simple. $250 puts $500 in your account, and you can use your funds to bet on as many individual games, contests, or props as you want. Bet on team win totals. Predict the Super Bowl winner. Use the MyBookie prop builder to give yourself the edge you need to secure the bag. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.